Heaven's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than thinking a drama on television is real. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, a discussion on whether society has gotten too stupid to appreciate the likes of George Carlin if he was just starting out today. Would he flourish and become the great if he was just an unknown doing the type of stuff he eventually got known for? Also, appears Donald Trump fans got upset about a television show on Amazon. Thought that there was an attack on them. Had to do with Nazis. The liberals might be having some fun at their expense, too. Not sure about that. A smart condom.
Smart okay.
condom. So nobody likes a dumb condom. We got a smart condom.
Yeah, nobody likes a dumb condom.
A dumb one.
And I wound up in Facebook jail over the weekend. And I am going to reveal how Facebook violated their own guidelines and rules by punishing me.
Because how dare they?
Well, yes, that should be rule number one. Don't punish David. Excellent point.
Thank you.
Excellent point. But I want to start out with a sociological study, because I encounter this problem a lot with people. I'm sure anybody who's debated has. So you're arguing with somebody, you know, Pip, the sky's blue. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's
no,
green.
It's green. It's green.
And then I show Pip evidence, for instance, scientific evidence, that the sky really does appear to be blue.
No, they're just saying that some people think it's blue, but it's green.
Right. The doubling down when presented with evidence. There was a study, and I think this is fascinating. If you have a Facebook page and you talk about anything topical, chances are you've encountered it, whatever side you're on.
Right.
So it deals with the increasing awareness that more and more people can't handle the truth. And in fact, when presented with the truth, instead of learning the correct information, they double down on the false narrative.
They can't handle the truth.
They clearly cannot.
No.
The article uses examples of the crime rate, and we've seen this before. Crime rate historic low. Bumped up a little bit, I want to say, in 2015 or 16, mm-hmm. but still historic low.
Right.
But you had the president saying it's historically high, and you have people saying it's historically high. When the FBI actually has statistics to keep track of this thing, you go, no, it's low, and they disregard that. We've all seen that argument.
In many different forms.
Right. So there's a concept in social scientists call the backfire effect. As a rule, misinformed people do not change their minds once they've been presented with facts that challenge their beliefs. But beyond simply not changing their minds when they should, research shows that they are likely to become more attached to their mistaken beliefs. The factual information backfires. When people don't agree with you, research suggests that bringing in facts to support your case might actually make them believe you less. And we've always been taught, well, hey, you got to show proof. That's what you were taught in school.
Yeah.
Show proof.
Well, that's a key thing to the issue. It's a key thing to the issue.
I know, but I thought there was going to be more than
there is. There is actually more. What he says in his statement, using the example that crime has gone down, and
that's their example.
Be easy enough to challenge. Let's use their example then. Be easy enough to challenge. The data doesn't simply support the statements made, which they show the crime statistics going down. Consider the following charts, which they show the violent crime rate and property crime rate in the U.S. over the last quarter century, measured by the Bureau of Justice Statistics. The overall trends are unmistakable. Crime in the U.S. is declining over a quarter of a century. Now, they're saying that, you know, and that's tough to dispute, but what the thing is that they're wondering why people say that. But people are not disseminating the facts, where if you live in certain areas, Chicago, places in the Midwest, that crime has gone
actually
up.
Still less than Chicago, too.
But still.
And Chicago's the 14th most violent city in the United States. 14th most violent.
14th?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. 14th.
Not even Detroit's got to be up there.
I don't know. Yeah. But I know it's not number one. But that's not the point. The point is you could show them something.
Well, actually, it is the point, because if they're looking at it as a whole, they're not looking at it in a sort of in a micro fashion, where if you're living in certain parts of the country where it is soaring, you can't look at those people and go, well, they're not ignoring the
right,
facts.
But those people don't go, but in my neighborhood, this is why, and here are these facts. But they're not coming back with counter facts. They're just going, no, I don't care what your little graph says. I just believe what I think more.
Not the way mm-hmm. this guy's writing the article. It seems that he said in his ways that nobody, you know, if this is the fact, this is the fact. And this is where, the, and
well,
this
a is fact
the impression
is a fact.
I'm getting.
But if you're talking about the country, if you're talking about the crime rate in the country, if you're talking about overall crime rate in the country, which is the example they use, mm-hmm. the facts are the facts. Now, if you want to break it down to a smaller thing, you can certainly
but
do
you're
that.
Not giving, but this guy who wrote the article is certainly not giving. He's more of a social economic commentator than he is on crime statistics. And he's using this crime statistic, and he's not getting into the nuts and bolts where in areas, certain areas.
You're getting hung up on that little thing. That's not his point.
It's not really a little. No, but it's actually in this article. It is his point. It
no,
is his
no,
point.
His point is I am showing you, my example is crime rate in the U.S. overall is going down. That is his example. He's not talking about in your neighborhood or this person's neighborhood.
Or so, one city.
Right.
Or...
He's not talking about that. Mm-hmm. He's giving the broad thing. Overall, crime is going down. And statistics show that. But people go, well, I feel, mm-hmm. I because their perception is, no, it's not. Contrary to, now, they might live in a more violent area. They might live in that area. But the fact of the matter is, his point is, it's still going down in the country.
But the fact of the matter is that somebody like an academic like him has such a high and mighty attitude that he's not looking at the reason that some people are saying that crime has not gone down is that
he's not focusing on crime. He's focusing
in this
on
article, he is focusing
no,
on
that's
crime.
Just
and
his
he's
example.
Used, but if he's using it as an
so
example, if
please.
He's using it as an example, it should be focused on.
Well, I think that this is a prime example of somebody who has. I knew when I saw this article that Joe would fixate on the fact because he's brought it up before about crime statistics. So I knew that that was going to happen. But the point is, he used that as his example. But what he's trying to say is, yes, I mean, whenever you use statistics, there are ways to skew statistics and parse them to make it fit your argument. That can happen a lot of times. But what he's trying to say is, let's pretend that his example was less ambiguous. Say that it was an example, the sky is blue.
The example I use. That's
blue.
The point.
And if you come back to the person and you say, the sky is blue, but they've always thought it was green, then if you come back to them and say, no, it's blue, and here I have charts from, you know, this astrological society and
Neil deGrasse Tyson
and NASA and the optician society and whatever, and all of them agree the sky is blue, and you're still saying, no, it's green, because you have a strongly, like, probably emotionally heartfelt
yes,
feeling
that's
that it's green.
People,
you're still going to find a way to make your belief true rather than
they're emotionally attached.
Yeah.
That's what the point is. Forget about the crime thing.
But, you know, but like I said, using it as an example and the way he states it, the American public seems to think that crime has been getting worse every year. If crime is going down, why do so many people feel that it's more crime today than it was a year ago? Well, in some parts of the country, there was. So if he's going to use this and make a statement on it, he used a very bad example of it.
Actually, no. I think that the way that you're listen to this and just...
I'm crap, are we wasting this segment?
I'm not wasting the segment. I'm calling this guy out. They used a very bad example on this.
So you do your own study. Can we move on, please?
Sorry if I'm making sense on this.
You're
I apologize.
Not. You're getting hung up on the wrong thing.
No, I'm not. Getting hung up is what he used as the prime example in this article.
Yeah, but you actually are using a different theory than what he proposed.
Yes. Crime statistics. You know,
that's
no.
It's not. We're talking. That's not his theory. Nationwide.
But he
places,
used it as an example.
But he said nationwide.
Nationwide.
If you take the entire United States, the statistics for the entire
country. So even
country,
if crime is going up in Chicago through the roof, but every place else is way down, nationwide, statistically
down.
He's right.
But he's supposed, but he supposes everybody is supposed to sit there and go, oh, that's a good thing. But if you're living in about 10 cities that are having this problem, he's wrong.
Not that they have an emotional reaction to the fact, they recognize it as a fact, and you are demonstrating the backfire fact.
Yes. Yes, you are. All right.
With the statistics, but, you know.
So we're not. Yeah, I feel like the whole segment was wasted over nonsense.
It wasn't wasted over nonsense. This is concrete facts and concrete debate over what this man used as a prime statement in his article on how people don't like to look at facts. It's a concrete thing right here.
I don't know how to explain it any different than your the argument was.
Ask the chat. Is the chat saying I'm wrong on this?
They're actually not saying anything right now. So
okay.
I think I'm
because
having
they're asking their neighbors if they think crime is up.
He's very. It's a very bad example that he used.
But you're using a different argument than what he proposed.
Yeah, you're not answering.
I'm not. He's saying that the violent criminal, the crime has gone down, and he's saying that it's a simple fact, and there are people, and he wrote in black and white, there are people that simply don't agree with this when it's clearly the fact. But what I'm saying is that the FBI statistics came out that crime is actually going down, but there are certain cities where it's on the rise. My take is that if you're living in these certain cities, this is not a fact. It's not a fact
still
in your area.
The city is,
it's a fact.
Is crime going up in your city is a different question than is crime going up in the nation. Those are two different examples. He's focusing on the nation. He's not worried about your city. But he doesn't care about your city.
But then he should stay, because he's actually said, why do so many people feel there's more crime today than there was a year ago? If I'm living in my city, that's the thing.
So you're explaining why the people feel that way, but that's still not pointing to his point.
And his point is, and if you go up to one of those people and says, you feel crime is going up, you live in one of the cities that's really hard hit, but I'm showing you the chart. Our discussion today is nationwide crime, and I'm showing you that nationwide, the whole country went down. I know you feel...
But in my area, and you want to know...
But
it's a whole thing. You know, people ignore the facts and stuff like that, but we're looking at facts.
They do.
But we're not looking at where we should be concentrating at statistics on the facts.
That's not what he's talking
about.
Because you're listening to some liberal socialist professor.
I don't know how he voted.
Believe me, I got his dossier here.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You have time on your hands.
Okay.
Now that you have that type of time, I know how hard it is. You just gave yourself more homework, stupid. I didn't know you had that much free time to do stuff. Well, that changes everything.
No,
I'll use your powers for good.
No, you won't.
I was a couple of weeks ago, I get an email. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Apparently, you do. Because you're doing stuff we're not even asking about. Ay, ay, ay. Don't tell me to wrap it up now. Now we're going to have to do the other segment. Sure, and I got to edit like a mofo tomorrow because you wasted all this damn time focusing on the wrong thing because you had free time.
No, it's not focusing on the wrong thing. It's focusing on the correct thing.
No, because you put a social thing. You put your own political bent on it. This is not
a political bent.
You just called him a liberal.
He is, because he's got this liberal ideology
where you're
looking at crime statistics and you're going, but people are wrong to think that way when they're showing that in certain areas crime is going up. So this is a misnomer. It is.
No, it's still not.
No, it's still not.
It's still not. It's still not. This is a perfect example. People don't comprehend. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe people just don't understand us. Maybe people... Remember how when you were in school, the teacher would say, follow directions, and you would, like, answer the wrong question? I would do that sometimes.
I would give
a completely different answer than what the teacher was looking for. Because I was not focusing properly.
I was thinking about what I thought it should say.
Right. I was thinking three steps ahead or in a different way, and the teacher wanted me to go from A to B. They didn't want me taking that side
trip. Because somebody's not thinking an alternate thought and looking at a statistic and going, hold on. There's a lot more to this. And that's a problem with a lot of statistics, where a lot of facts. Well, this is a fact, but people don't disseminate the facts. Disseminate and look into the facts. Where the guy's saying, well, crime in the country has gone down. Really? Well, what about these certain cities where it has not gone down? And he's saying, and people that disagree, it's simply not true. Well, it is true if you're living in a city
It's still not true nationwide. That does not change. That statistic does not change no matter where you live. It does.
All right, go to Detroit and tell them that.
I will.
While you're dodging gunfire.
The argument remains the same. I understand in this city, we'll say, that crime has gone up. I understand that. And your living experience would dictate that crime in Detroit has gone up. But nationwide, despite what's going on in city Detroit or whatever city you want, nationwide, crime has gone down. There's a difference.
I have a supermarket basket full of fruit.
Mm-hmm. Are they full of deplorables?
Vegetables. Full of fruit and vegetables, and I also have a candy bar hidden in there. Okay, now
I know where I'm looking.
And so you would say, overall, if you took it pound for pound, what's in that basket is healthy food, overall, because we're looking at the whole supermarket basket. There's a candy bar in there.
Right.
Yes, that's true. And if you are my Weight Watchers coach, you're going to go, there's a friggin' candy bar in there. I know it's there. I can smell it.
Right.
But because you are thinking about what else is in there. But all the discussion was is overall, pound for pound, is there mostly healthy food in there?
Right, and this is a majorly condescending article that this guy wrote saying, well, people simply ignore the facts, but the fact is there is a candy bar in there, and if you are near that, if that candy bar is up to the top of that basket, that candy bar is noticeable, and that candy bar
but
should
overall,
be addressed.
But overall, you're still wrong. Overall, you could justify it all you want overall. But
no, I am not wrong because it's you hear all these facts come out and nobody disseminates them. And there's an intriguing sociological reason why so many Americans are ignoring facts. And he brings up the crime. Well, sociological, if you live in certain
she
cities.
She just gave you a non-sociological argument and you did the same thing.
But you
she
want to know something? Then
to
he
keep...
should have wrote about Pip's basket
of fucking
melons.
Well, you have free time. Send him an email.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Fine, send
maybe
him an email. Get him on the show. Let him deal with
all
you.
Right.
and there's an F-bomb that's escaped through there, but you're going to edit that out.
Who F-bombed? Did you?
Yes, you did.
Overall, you didn't curse.
but there was one F-bomb.
And it ruined the whole segment. More show when we come back. Well, that first segment was certainly more passionate and sidetracked than I expected, and we know now what Pip does when she goes shopping, so it was useful.
There's a Snickers down at the bottom.
It was exhausting.
Hey, Joe, less filling!
Tastes great!
I feel like I got violated. Like I just
did.
Showed up and a men's prison broke out, and I was the new hot piece of arse. Oh.
An immense prison. That's too funny.
But I just wanted to pick up the soap, fellas.
Oh,
sorry.
Got assaulted. I wasn't ready for that. I was having a nice time.
Keep looking at the drain.
Don't make eye contact.
Keep looking.
Just gonna focus on the water going down, escaping, finding a better place. Water's going free, going out to the oceans.
Going down, great idea.
Oh, go free with the water, not worried about the polluted streams or the dying reefs. Just happy water, just focusing on the water. This will be over soon.
Keep struggling, it's great.
They're taking turns because they like me.
Pretend you're spawning upstream.
I'm very popular.
Wiggle.
I make friends easily.
Making more now.
That's how I felt on that last segment. Oh. Just wanted to do a nice show. Then Bubba Curry jumped in.
I love how I became the rapist in this scenario, though.
Well, it's life and art. Anyway. So more and more I'm getting audience members. How am I even going to do this now? This show is so sidetracked.
Off the rails. We just started.
They're coming up to me and they're saying it's nice to hear smart comedy and somebody who just lays it out there. I'm getting more and more of that.
Yeah.
I also think increasingly we are a dumber society. I think we're a lazier society. I think we're a cruder society. I think we have a shorter attention span than past generations.
Oh, absolutely shorter
attention
span.
Other than that,
span.
We're fine.
I don't think we're a dumber society. I think we're a more suppressed society where you'll make comments. If you make a social comment, there are people that feel awkward to laugh. If they
yeah,
do,
but people don't know current events. Those are two different things.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes, like, you know, I'll go political rant or something, you know, where I live, obviously. Yes. But people come up to me after
Joe
the show.
Joe will do it at the buffet. Someone's like, listen, I just want to get some potatoes. And Joe's like, those liberal tater tots! Look at them mingling with the red peppers! I was just hungry. I just wanted some sides.
Sorry. This buffet's American. It's an American buffet.
And your taters are un-American.
French fries? You bring some russets in here
you
now.
You bring some freedom fries.
You bring some freedom fries.
You left-leaning lima bean.
As you hear me carrying in the russet fry, the American from oven mitt, please. With the one that we American flag on it.
Get that Russian dressing out of here.
Get it out.
Oh, wait. Maybe.
So yeah, date night with Joe is fun, too.
Funny. Yes. But I think people feel subconscious or conscious of what they laugh at and what they don't laugh at. Where something might be a little bit edgy, they feel if they laugh, especially when I do benefits, like I'll do benefits for school groups, you know, especially I had a bunch of teachers last week, and they were very uptight because if they laugh at something that they feel might be edgy, it could be, people might look at them, in favorably at work the next day. Now, we're talking about teachers, which are highly educated people, which if you say something and they feel a little awkward about it, they're not going to laugh. So I think that we are more of an educated society. When when Carlin and Lenny...
Well, let me explain who Carlin was. Everybody knows who George Carlin was.
Shame
we know.
On them.
Well,
I understand that. But, you know, George Carlin evolved into a comedian that would take on any topic, no matter how taboo, and call society... all of society on their BS.
Right.
He there were no safe places during George Carlin when he was in his prime.
Yes.
He would
no
take on
cows.
No, exactly. Better yet. It was very smart comedy and there was a lot of analysis behind it. Forgetting about the humor, there was actually a lot of analysis. Whether you agreed or didn't agree, you could see that he put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
It's why he's revered as one of the greats today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But now, I would argue that the society's less informed. Joe does not feel that way.
I think we are.
I think to appreciate Carlin, you needed to be aware of the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think increasingly people are tuning out because there's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much stimulus coming at you.
Oh, yeah, because you're looking at this high, well, I mean, quick. Everything is going so fast. Like, everything is, like, cut. What do they call that? The, like, slice cut whenever they edit. And it's, like, everything's quick. Like,
unlike this explanation.
Yeah, I know. I'm having trouble spitting it out today. But the thing is that everything is, like, faster, and the editing is quicker, and all the information is coming at you, and you have, like,
we're overstimulated.
Portals.
We're overstimulated. Yeah. I don't think a comic like George Carlin, forget George Carlin, but, like, he's unknown, I don't think he could make headway today and become a great. I don't think the audiences in mass support that anymore.
No, I think that you're getting more the cable guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Because if you look at who the hottest newer comics are, it's Amy Schumer and Kevin Hart, and it's not what I'm going to say is not a knock on them.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Right, exactly. Not a knock on him.
Great, funny guy, great act.
But none of them are making you think.
No.
They're not even doing what Chris Rock does. You know, Chris Rock in the 90s made you think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think a comic coming up today can break out to that next level doing smart stuff.
It's dumbing down and crotch humor.
But are we, as a comic, are we doing a disservice by dumbing ourselves down?
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm a hero because I don't dumb it down.
Neither do I.
You should.
Neither do I. And I was told, I was working with a comic, a buddy of ours, a couple months ago, and he saw my act, and he goes, keep doing what you do. I go, it seems as there's a lot of lonely...
You brought him up nicely with a good intro?
No. Actually, no, he's one of the bigger acts, and he goes, just keep doing what you're doing, you're on the right path.
Well, I told you you're finding your voice.
Yeah.
I can't think of a comic who's risen to the top in the past 5 or 10 years that's been thought-provoking. I can't think of one.
Mm, that's sad.
Oh, God. Why am I... Louis C.K.
Oh, that's true. And he's complicated.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of it's about him. He's complicated about him.
Yeah, but don't you think that telling stories about ourselves opens us up to people thinking about their own lives?
Yes, but it's not what Carlin does.
No.
Carlin's picking on you.
Right.
He's not tearing himself down. He's tearing you down for having that belief.
Yeah, about your behavior.
Right. That's why it's different. Again, not a knock on CK.
Louis Black, too. Louis Black is
has
very good.
Has him in the past 10 years, though.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, he's been kicking around forever.
Yeah.
And he's not a superstar. I mean, we like him, but he's not a superstar. You know what? Maybe Joe's right. Maybe we're just too coddled now as a society, and we can't handle these scary topics. Maybe
although, look at the super, super enthusiasm that people have for The Daily Show, and that's really smart comedy.
Sometimes. Sometimes not.
No, some of it is really goofy.
All right. Well, this is kind of goofy and sad. Coming up, we'll do some Nazi news. Don't go anywhere. Davin's Den, that's what you're listening to. Your place for arguments, apparently. That's apparently what we're good at. I don't know. All right, let's do some Nazi news because people got upset because they're crazy. Let me just find the little bumper that we have for that. Every radio show should have a bumper called Nazi theme.
You do speak Hunger! You do speak Hunger! You do speak Hunger! At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
The Man in the High Castle is a TV show on Amazon about America if the Nazis had won World War II. To help promote the show, Amazon rolled out a radio stream called Resistance Radio. The stream is full of melancholy 60s-era music and political monologues condemning Nazis and fascism. Ugh, how could they? This is because a new resistance is taking hold in the show's version of America. Listeners and observers have found parallels between Amazon's fictional world and contemporary politics, and they're drawing up battle lines on Twitter. Of course they are. Liberals and leftists are using the hashtag Resistance Radio to highlight current Trump controversies. A tweet from one liberal, keep focus on hashtag treason for at real Donald Trump and Russia hacked American democracy. Lock him up! Lock him up! Lock him up! Hashtag Resistance Radio. Some Trump supporters seem unclear about just what Resistance Radio is, mistaking it for real radio programming with a liberal agenda. Hey, man, your team.
Oh, man.
Here's some tweets from Trump supporters. Because CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, and BBC weren't enough to get Hillary elected, so let's try Too Late Idiots, hashtag Resistance Radio.
Too Late Idiots.
Oh, the irony. Hashtag Resistance Radio, question mark? Good luck outpacing at Rush Limbaugh, at Mark Levin Show, at Sean Hannity, at Todd Schnitt. I don't even know who that is.
Oh, no.
At The Blaze and the others. The airwaves are ours! Are they?
Now the brain waves are not, however.
So now you got Trump supporters are being criticized for criticizing a fake radio stream, as they should.
They're not looking at the important bits that show that this isn't real, right?
I don't know. Maybe it's that fire effect. Maybe somebody should. Well, you know what? This is a part of a TV show. I'll go, no. This is gleaned from the headlines.
But what they're getting upset is they're making comparisons to the Trump administration, and they're getting upset. It's a fake radio show, though.
No, Joe. Am I listening to it? Do I think it's real? Then it's real. Is it coming through the computer? Do they have a DJ? Are they playing music? It's real, I tells you. You see?
Seriously, though, I wonder if they're
Seriously, folks.
I wonder if they're conflating this Resistance Radio with Keith Olbermann's The Resistance. It's a series.
Well, liberals are
YouTube.
Taking advantage of this.
Yeah,
liberals are because
they can poke it to the right. You know, I mean, why not?
I guess.
You know, why not?
And it's
I'm
working.
Not a liberal, but not for nothing. You know, you can. You know.
Oh yeah, get some shots in for the dumb.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that it's not real. You know.
Nothing shows a liberal how smart you are than getting angry at a fake radio show.
I'll show you.
But, you know, in Trump's defense, he said he loves the uneducated. These are his people. Yeah.
There they are.
So somebody wrote, that moment when hashtag Trump supporters are offended over a fake anti-Nazi radio show, does that mean they admit to being Nazis? Hashtag Resistance Radio. It really is something to be upset. Why would you get upset? Well, who? I mean, you don't want to be a deplorable. Then hate the Nazis. You can still love Trump. Just hate the Nazis. Yeah, that's all we're asking.
Yeah, is this really something we're arguing about?
Well, apparently.
Well, the one tweet, real Nazis getting annoyed by a show about fake Nazis. Now, for her to just say real Nazis is a you know, the term that Trump supporters are getting stuck with, which is
well,
not
when
right.
You start defending Nazis. I'm not calling you a Nazi, but when you start defending Nazis, I might go,
but
he might be
from
a Nazi.
The way she's reading it, it says like real, like she's naming any Trump supporter a real Nazi. However, getting upset about a show about fake Nazis. So, yeah, look, I was staunch about the segment several segments ago, but, you know, on this one.
Nazis right. For nothing, Trump supporters. Yeah, pick your battles.
I'm not going to sit here.
Do you really want to die on the cross of defending fake Nazis?
No, that's ridiculous.
Wait, this is the line you're drawing in the sand?
This is what really? It is? This is where you're defending your man by sticking up for fake Nazis? All right, well, a smart condom for dumb people. More show.
Hey,
right. Well, you know, we like to provide you folks with the news and the cutting edge technology to improve your life. That's what we do at this show. Always trying to make you happy.
And he pointed at me.
He pointed to you. Get you up with the latest tech gadgets. So here we have it, the i.com smart condom.
And you just said get you up.
Yes, get you up. It markets itself as the world's first smart condom. It's actually a ring that fits over a regular condom and claims to track the exercise of your penis, as well as detect chlamydia and syphilis. It's available for pre-order and costs $74, and it pairs with an app. Now, according to the pre-order page, the ring will answer the questions such as, what's my thrust velocity? Which is, I've sat pondering many an hour wondering.
Now, do you?
Yeah, of course. If I can just add a couple miles per hour, I think I might be ready for the majors. How fast are my thrusts, Pip Helix?
Well, it's not the same as thrusts.
Questions you don't hear that much.
How many calories did that session burn?
Now, that's something that girls worry about.
Oh, I think we all worry about that.
Do you worry about that?
Yeah, now? Spring's coming. Bathing suit's coming. Season's coming. Okay. How many times did I just have sex?
Wait a minute. You need... How drunk are you that you need this thing to tell
you?
Really?
Yeah, I think if that's your problem, before you need this product, you need a membership to AA. Yeah. I think there are bigger issues.
Just blacking out.
Yeah.
You don't know?
What's the average skin temperature of my member? Mm. How would I know if it has a fever?
Is it on fire?
Pip, does this feel warm to you?
Hold on a second.
Put it on your forehead.
Somebody's wearing a
helmet. Kiss it.
Closer.
It won't spit. What's my girth? Can't you just get like a tape?
Sounds like a game show. Welcome to What's My Girth?
Could be.
What race?
Could be. Where's Wink Martindale?
Yeah, right. Yeah, more than that's winking.
How many positions did I just conquer? Now define conquer. Because if you have to bow out, cramp.
Yeah, that's not conquering. That's retreating.
But also, it's like, you don't know? You don't know?
It aims to answer that age-old question, how do I stack up the sex to everyone else around the world? The ring, which will come with a one-year warranty, will have a micro USB charging port to provide 6 to 8 hours live usage. It will work with a combination of nano chip and sensors and pair with your device via Bluetooth.
With your device?
Yes.
You're going to pair with your device? Why am I here?
Why does it keep crapping out? Bad area.
I don't have enough bars. Oh, sounds personal.
This bitch has braces. British Condoms does say the icon will be available in one size with a band adjustment feature. British Condoms says... British Condoms says all data will be kept anonymous, but users will have the option to share their recent data with friends or indeed the world.
I am getting rid of both of you on Facebook if this happens. I don't want to
new all-time level of thrusting! I rule! Rosenblatt rules!
I don't want to know!
Suck it! No, not literally. I mean, I'm bragging. All right, I don't want this, Joe.
I don't want this. This is supposed to be enjoyable, relaxing. You don't want to make it into a contest.
I could see fraternity guys, though. I could see this being a competition. Like, you just mow through a bunch of broads, and it's all about points and thrust and
fun.
Right. But I can't. True. I can only see that this is going to lead to disillusionment of all sorts.
No, I will be the best. I don't doubt that.
I think that guys have high expectations, and I think this is really, really going to set them back on the ego scale.
I'd be afraid that there'd be a leak, would be leaked if there was like a hacking targeting your banging. this is information you do not need. Because, you know, we see what happens with like the Ashley Madison sites and everything when they get hacked and people are mortified. Can you imagine if you're bangitude? If those stats are all over the internet? Now, if you're really good, you're like, that's right.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It's called Dinky Links.
Dinky Leaks.
I hope it doesn't leak. Oh. But the other thing is that you thought we had problems with microwaves. If this thing starts, like, filming, I'm out of here.
Well, Kelly Ian has some news for you. She was staring at it and took pictures.
That one eye.
But this is tech. I know tech. Tech fails.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you not only have to worry about your member rising to the occasion, but you also, if your condom doesn't give you the blue screen of death, which will lead to the blue balls of discomfort and humiliation, can you, like, just add that extra pressure? You just slap it. Come on. Control-Alt-Delete on your nuts.
You're just sitting there depressed at the end of the bed. Oh, honey, it's okay, but I just keep getting a circle going around.
It's buffering, honey. It's buffering.
Is that what we're calling it these days?
Yes. But really, if it's a smart condom, wouldn't it figure how to wind up under the bed just before insertion? Yeah. Isn't that really the smartest condom of all? Yeah. All right, kids, get it at your own risk. It's available for pre-order. Come back. I'll tell you how I exposed Facebook. So I wound up in Facebook jail, kids. There was a joke of mine from 2015. There was an article about the rapper named Chinx. That's his name. Don't send letters. I'm not interested. In 2015, the rapper Chinx was killed. So I posted that article, and I put a joke underneath it with some other racial slurs. If you want to hear that joke, you're not going to hear it here. You got to go to davinsden.com and go to the March 21st show on in the podcast section. Go to part one if you want to hear that joke.
Right.
But I can't do it here. But Facebook did – but I got suspended.
Yeah.
I got put in Facebook jail. And so I did a little research, and I see Facebook violated their terms of agreement. So they made a mistake when they disciplined me.
How did they make a mistake, though?
So this is what I wrote to Facebook.
Okay.
I see I'm still on Facebook timeout.
In a corner.
I had hoped after some time you would have reconsidered following the guidelines Facebook has set up, because I had sent them a couple of messages before.
Okay.
Because like how Joe likes to do research on sociologists, I'd like to do research on Facebook, apparently.
Okay.
So it appears the person making the decision to put me in Facebook jail has violated the user platform trust. A trust that, if routinely violated, will drive users from the platform. Once that happens, the advertisers will follow suit. If that happens soon, there will be layoffs and people will be out of work. But I digress. Let's get to your violation and look to Facebook for guidance on harmful and abusive language. The offense which I allegedly committed from Facebook, we prohibit content deemed to be directly harmful but allow content that is offensive or controversial. We define harmful content as anything organizing real-world violence, theft, or property destruction, or that directly inflicts emotional distress on a specific private individual, e.g. bullying. A list of prohibited categories of content can be found in our community standards. And then this is from another part of Facebook. While there is no universally – this is from 2013. They updated this one.
Okay.
They put out some guidance. While there is no universally accepted definition of hate speech, as a platform, we define the term to mean direct and serious attacks on any protected category of people based on their race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, sex, gender, sexual orientation, disability, or disease. We work hard to remove hate speech quickly. However, there are instances of offensive content, including distasteful humor, that are not hate speech, according to our definition.
Mm-hmm.
In these cases, we work to apply fair, thoughtful, and scalable policies. This approach allows us to continue defending the principles of freedom of self-expression on which Facebook is founded. We've also found that posting insensitive or cruel content often results in many more people denouncing it than supporting it on Facebook. That being said, we realize that our defense of freedom of expression should never be interpreted as a license to bully, harass, or abuse or threaten violence. We are committed to working to ensure that this does not happen within the Facebook community. We believe that the steps outlined will help us achieve this goal. We will increase the accountability of the creators of content that does not qualify as actionable hate speech but is cruel or insensitive by insisting that the author stand behind the content they create.
Mm-hmm.
A few months ago, we began testing a new requirement that the creator of any content containing cruel and insensitive humor include his or her authentic identity for the content to remain on Facebook.
Oh, I see.
As a result, if an individual decides to publicly share cruel and insensitive content, users can hold the author accountable and directly object to the content. We shall continue to develop the policy based on the results, which shall indicate that it's helping create a better Facebook environment. So that's from there. That's theirs.
Yeah.
So I continue. I go, at worst, my post was distasteful humor. But then again, who are you or anybody to decide what is distasteful?
Right.
Purely subjective. Anyway, my joke did not target any specific person.
No.
I did not target any specific group.
No.
I used derogatory terms for various groups as satire to point out to the absurdity of the news story I was lampooning. Facebook said that content creators had to use their authentic name in order to face the repercussions of the audacity to create humor edgier than dogs are funny.
They are.
Yes, they are. And what's the deal with airplane peanuts? My name is plastered all over my site. My banner is an advertisement for an upcoming comedy performance. My profile picture is me on stage. A look at my post would see I am regularly promoting comedy shows. I was ready to face the criticism, as is the right thing to do, and Facebook demands. However, the person in charge of my timeout gave the complainant the easy way out.
Yes.
Twice. Whoever was in charge should have told them that I was well within my Facebook guidelines.
And the funny thing is where it's...
Hold on, I got one more thing.
All right.
The note also talks about posting publicly. My settings are kept to private. The general public cannot see my posts. Mm-hmm. So is it really public because I am on your platform, or is it private because I choose who gets to see in my own little Facebook world? Here is the win, though. And it was a throwaway, and then I tell them I'm going to do it on the show and tell everybody.
Yeah.
And I wait Facebook. Go on, Joe.
In one of the disclaimers they had in there, they also said if somebody found it offensive,
right.
They could report it. And I think it might be one of those things where you might be in a club and you're acting in a club. Everybody likes the joke except one person that complains, and that person makes it a problem for you getting rebooked in that club.
Right.
I think that even though you will well within, though, I mean, blatantly well within those
guidelines. I follow the guidelines.
To the letter. Yeah, however, that one person complaining might have... which is wrong. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying
from a joke from 2015. But Facebook has these guidelines. Don't put these guidelines out here on how you're going to enforce your terms of agreement and your policies if your people are not trained to follow them.
Yes,
Facebook violated the trust with the users. They did themselves harm.
And they also have to expand if a person feels that they were offended by what you posted. They need to have a guideline on how they're going to handle that, because I think that was the one thing that was the major problem, and they just put him in Facebook jail over that. Now, that's wrong. And he followed what he posted to the letter.
Yeah.
So they need to look at that as well.
They absolutely do. It's not like you were saying, like, Joe, I'm going to use you an example. It's not like you were saying, Joe, you are a this and a that and another thing.
Which I have on that page.
Yeah, which we do here.
Very good example. Better than the sociologist uses his example, but...
And I gave Joe two apples and a chocolate bar.
And everything was right with the world.
Exactly. He had low blood sugar, so he was happy.
Yeah, one Snickers and everything's well.
No,
but the thing is that if he had said that, okay, that's wrong because he is bullying you. If he had said, Joe, you're a, give me a derogatory word for an
I
Italian.
Got a bunch.
Use them too.
No,
I
but
have
if
a complaint.
If you said that, then you're picking on one ethnic group or one group and you're saying something derogatory about them. Okay, that's wrong. If it was an open forum, your page, and you were saying things and people went, oh, I'm aghast. Well, you know what? Don't come to my page anymore. Flick the channel.
But Facebook, but if I went to his page, I go, you know what? That joke, I was kind of offended what he wrote. Facebook should have wrote back, look, this is the guidelines. And he was within the guidelines.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yes.
It's the same person that is at a show and disruptive and gets their tush powdered because
yeah.
I don't like
Here's
what
the
they said. And
here's
the
problem.
Person.
I often say, and then we got to get out. I often say, I defend Facebook. I go, well, it's their world, mm-hmm. and they can set the rules, so you can't get upset about it.
Right.
And I say that. We're using the platform for free. Here is the difference, though. I follow their rules. They didn't follow their rules.
No, they mm-hmm. didn't.
And that's the legitimate beef.
Yeah.
And that's where Facebook is going to have an issue with other people. Joe? Anywhere?
Just check my Facebook page, ironically, Joe Curry Nation. I'll have dates on there.
There'll be some nasty words for me on there.
Hadn't been the first time.
Pip?
Johnny and the Alamodies are going to be playing at Kennelly's on Route 9W in New York. You have to check them out.
Oh, I do have I have one more thing. I'm sorry. No, Fragile Sky will be at, Mexicali Live in Teaneck, New Jersey. Open up for Ripper Owens, former lead singer of Judas Priest. It's going to be on March 29th. Check that out.
Friday, March 31st, I'll be in Lincoln Park, New Jersey at the Firehouse, hopefully doing comedy. Saturday, April 1st, I'll be opening for Elvis at Il Palazzo in Wanakee, New Jersey. For tickets, call 973-839-9696. And then later on that night, I'll be in Walk Hill, New York at Elsie's Place. For tickets, call 845-895-8975. Davinsden.com. Go there for the whole show. A lot of stuff that's not going to make this version. Davinsden.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.